Daf today was Tesvav, and the Gemara today spoke about what's called Klei Zchuchis, glassware. And the question is, what's the status of glassware as far as Kabbalah's Tumah is concerned? Are glass utensils susceptible to Tumah? Now, in the Torah itself, we find, as we'll soon see, a long list of different kinds of utensils made of different materials. And Klei Zchuchis, glassware, is not on the list. So let's go through the list itself as far as the Torah law is concerned. What utensils on a Doraisa level are Makabel Tumah? So number one, we have what's called Kli Eitz, made of wood. We have something called Kli Beged, and those are made of cloth. We have Kli Ar, that are made of skins and hides. We have Kli Etzem, who are made of bones, enamel, and the like. And finally, we have Kli Matechos and Kli Cheres. Those are the two main categories, or common categories. Kli Matechos means they are metal kelim, made of kesef or zov. And we have Kli Cheres, which is earthenware, otherwise known as china or pottery. There's also something very similar to Kli Cheres, which is called Kli Neser, and that's made of a certain kind of white sand, and it also has a similar look to earthenware, except it's white instead of being dark, and that is also called pottery or earthenware. And all the above are Makabel Tumah d'oraisa. Now, there are a number of kelim which are not Makabel Tumah d'oraisa. We have something called shayish, which is marble, and we have other stones. Stones, which are called klei avonim, are not included in the list in the Torah. In Vayikra, I think it's Perek Yud Aleph, if I remember correctly. And we have something called klei avonim and klei glolim. These are various kinds of kelim that were excluded from the list of utensils that receive tumah, and ein mekablim tumah. And that's number one. Number two, glassware. Glassware, as far as the Torah is concerned, is not Makabel Tumah. Why? It's neither made of metal, nor is it made of china, nor is it made of wood, nor is it made of animal skins. It just doesn't fit into any of the categories in which the Torah has defined for Kabbalah's Tumah. So therefore, min haTorah, Klei Zchuchis Einam Mekablim Tumah. They're neither chinaware or metalware and so forth and so on. And here the sugya that we learned here on Daf Tesvav establishes as one of the 18 gzeros that were enacted in the Aliyah of Hananya by Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, a Tumah Derabbanan on Klei Zchuchis, that glassware, midrabbanan, on Makabel Tumah. And the Gemara is going to try to analyze why. What was the reason for this gzera? So just to review the main points of the Gemara is going to say that to a certain extent, there's a great similarity between glassware and earthenware, or perhaps between glassware and metal utensils. And that's what the Gemara goes through here. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Okay. Now, in terms of the dinim, what are the dinim that apply to the various kelim that are makabel tumah, either min haTorah or min rabbanan, in the case of klei zchuchis? So let's talk first about the kelim that are makabel tumah min haTorah. We have a category called klei matechos, which are metal kelim. In the case of metal kelim, we have something called pshutim. Pshutim means they are flat and they have no base kibul. They are not receptacles. They are just flat. Now, the Torah says that in the case of a metal kli, and only a metal kli, even if it's pshutim, it's flat and it has no receptacle, it is still nevertheless mekabel tumah. Other kelim, let's say for example, let's take a kli cheres that's made of earthenware, kli eitz that's made of wood. These are not mekabel tumah unless they have what's called a kli kibul. They are receptacles. If they're pshutim and it doesn't have any sort of receptacle, they're flat, they're not mekabel tumah min haTorah. And this is all codified in a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim. The Mishnah says that midrabanan, even kelim pshutim, are mekabel tumah. But let's just focus for a moment on the Doraisa level. On the Doraisa level, only in the case of kli matechas, of a metal kli, is it mekabel tumah, even if it's flat and it has no base kibul. So let's take example of silverware, forks, knives, and the like, or any other, like a flat pan that has no sides to it, and it's made of metal. In such a case, it's mekabel tumah d'oraisa, that's called pshutei kli matochos. Any other keli that is pashut, it's a keli pshutim, it's not mekabel tumah midoraisa. Okay. Now, klei cheres, if we're talking about the dinim, so we said that kli matechos is very special in the constellation of kabbalas tumah because even pshutim are mekabel tumah. What's unique about a kli cheres? And there are a number of different halachas that are unique about a kli cheres. Three that we're going to focus on. Number one, there's no tuma me'al gabon, which means that if a sheretz would fall on the outside of earthenware of a pot, that's mea pottery, then the pot would remain tahor. And that's a special din that applies exclusively to a kli cheres. All other kelim that are metame midoraisa are metame not only mitocham but even al gabam, meaning if the sheretz fell on the outside of a metal pot, for example, the metal pot now contracts tumah. If the pot was made of earthenware and it fell on the outside of the pot, that's al gabam, then it's not mekabel tumah midoraisa. That's a special, unique halacha in klei cheres. Number two, a kli cheres, although it has a kula, like we said before, the leniency is that it's not mekabel tumah al gabon, but on the flip side, it has a chumra, and it's mekabel tumah me aviron. So let's say if I have a sheretz on the bottom of a string, attached to a string, and I lower it inside a kli, and it doesn't touch the walls of the kli, then that kli does not contract tumah through avir, through the air of the kli, unless it's a kli cheres. In the case of a kli cheres, the Torah says that it's mekabel tumah, even me aviro, even though it did not touch the walls of the kli. Number two, and this is the tremendous, unique feature in kli cheres, it doesn't have mikvah. If a kli cheres contracts tumah, then you cannot be metayer a kli cheres by putting it into a mikvah. Only shvira, the Torah goes out of its way to say that kli cheres has to be broken if it's mekabel tumah. And I'll read to you the pasuk of Vayikra Yudalef. It says, "V'chol kli cheres ashel yipol mihem el tocho is yitma v'oso tishberu." So anything inside the kli becomes tomei, and the Torah says the kli itself has to be broken. What does that mean, it has to be broken? It means it has to become non-functional. Once it's non-functional, then the tumah just dissipates into thin air, in the case of a Kli Cheres. We'll have to talk about what happens in Shvira, in other Kelim, what's going to be the status. But in any event, your requirement in the case of Kli Cheres, in order to get rid of the Tumah, is to break the Kli. Putting the Kli into a mikvah is meaningless. It has to be a Shvira, v'eino ra'ui limalacha. If it's eino ra'ui limalacha, then it is tahar. That's called Shvira. Just give me a second over here. Alright, the question is, do we want to go into that now? Let me just get the third major unique dimension of a Kli Cheres, and that is that a Kli Cheres, if it comes in contact with a dead body, it does not become what's called an Av HaTumah, but rather it becomes what's called a Rishon LeTumah. So Mirz Hashem, we'll talk about this later. This actually is Sugya Masechta Erevin, that a Kli Mateches that comes in contact with a dead body becomes an Av HaTumah. That has to do with the principle called Cherev HaReu Kechalol. But in the case of a Kli Cheres, even if it comes directly in contact with a dead body, nevertheless, its status is only that of a Rishon LeTumah. Okay. Now, I'll just point out that before we discuss the status of a Kli's Chuchis, which is really our Sugya, glassware, there is Alach of Shvira that applies to other Kalim as well. We said that in the case of Cheres, Shvira is a unique halacha. What do I mean that Shvira is a unique halacha? So first of all, what I mean is in a negative sense, that Tara b'mikvah, in a case of a Kli Cheres that received Tumah, is irrelevant, right? It's ineffective. But there's a flip side as well. And that is that Shvira, in the case of a Kli Cheres, is an irreversible process. What do I mean? Let's contrast Kli Cheres with Kli Mateches. Supposing I have a pot that's made of copper, or whatever metal substance it is. Now I break the Kli. The Kli was Mekabel Tumah. Now I break it. I smash it with a sledgehammer. And it breaks in such a way that it's non-functional. Now, I take the two pieces of broken metal and I reheat them in an oven and I recreate a Kli. Even if that Kli looks different than the original, it doesn't matter, but it's made from the same substance, the same material, then we have a principle called Chazra Tuma Yeshana, that the original Tumah goes back into full force. And what you're going to have to do now is, even after you reform the Kli, you're going to have to take it to the mikvah and to be metairit. Not so in the case of a Kli Cheres. In a Kli Cheres that was Mekabel Tumah, which means that there was Tumah inside the Kli, now you break the Kli, it's non-functional, then you take its pieces and you put it back into the furnace, you recreate that Kli Cheres, it's tar, completely tar. So again, there is a chumra in Kli Cheres that leads to a kula, so to speak. The chumra is that Kli Cheres does not lend itself to tara b'mikvah, and the only method of tara in a Kli Cheres is Shvira, to break the Kli. The kula is that once you break the Kli and it becomes non-functional, then you cannot resurrect the Kli with its Tumah. Obviously, you can recreate the Kli, but it will not be Tameh. That's the kula of a Kli Cheres. In contrast to a Kli Mateches, which although its broken pieces are not Tameh, even though the Kli as whole was Tameh, but if I take these broken pieces and I reform the Kli, then Chazra Tuma Yeshana. The old Tuma goes back into place. Okay. Now let's talk about glassware. What's the status of glassware? Okay. So the first thing I have to tell you about glassware is that although midoraisa, it's not listed, it's excluded from tumah, so glass is not makabel tumah, the Rabbanan said that glassware is very similar to earthenware. Both are created from sand. You know, it's interesting because, you know, when I was in Venice, now is not a good time to be there, but when I was in Venice, you know, they take you to see glass blowing. Have you ever done it? You know, they have a whole tour of, you know, and it's very interesting, you know, to see the way they make different shapes out of glass. But what was disappointing for me was I was hoping to see how they create the glass. I couldn't find any place in Venice where I could see that. But anyway, the Gemara tells us that in the making of glass, what they do is they take sand. And from the sand, they make glass. In that sense, it's very similar to earthenware. Earthenware, let's say, is usually made from different kinds of sand, or perhaps from clay, but what's common to both clay and sand is that's called earth. It's from the earth. It's produced from sand. So that since there's a very great similarity, a striking resemblance between the manufacture of kli cheres of pottery and glassware of kli zchuchis, the Rabbanan therefore instituted a tumah derabanan in which glassware receives and contracts tumah through, let's say, a sheretz, for example. Now, in the case of this rabbinic tumah, we're going to have to understand that on the one hand, there's a great similarity between kli zchuchis and kli cheres, but on the other hand, are we going to assume, therefore, based on that initial impetus that the Chachamim were motivated to be metame a kli zchuchis based on its similarity to a kli cheres? Does that mean that the kli zchuchis, midrabanan, of course, gets all the dinim of a kli cheres, which would mean both lekula and lechumra? So, for example, if I were to equate kli zchuchis with a kli cheres lekula, I would say that it's not metame Me'al Gamon. You remember that we said that Kli Cheres does not contract tumah from the outside if the Sheretz lands on the outside of the Kli. What would be in the case where a Sheretz lands on the outside of a Kli Zchuchis? So that would be a Kula that we could apply to Kli Zchuchis based on its comparability, its similarity to a Kli Cheres. Now we could have another Kula, and we could say that a kli zchuchis, once you break the kli, then it loses its status of tumah in an irreversible way, such that even if I take the pieces of the glass and I put them back into a furnace and I recreate the kli, it will not be tumah, and we will not apply the principle that we apply to a metal kli of chazra tumah liyoshna. Why? Because a kli zchuchis is now being compared as a subcategory of kli cheres. And just like a kli cheres, we said that shvira breaks the kli and that's it. The status of tumah is gone forever, even if you were to reproduce the kli based on it, you know, using its shvarim, its broken pieces. So too in a kli zchuchis, by virtue of its similarity to a kli cheres, is lo amrin and chazra tuma liyoshna. We would say that once the kli is broken, that's it. You can never resurrect the original tuma. That's l'chora what we would say. However, halacha is more complicated than that, as usual. Number one, a kli zchuchis, unlike a kli cheres, lends itself to tara b'mikvah. We said that a kli cheres only has one method of tara, and that is shvira. There's nothing meaningful whatsoever. There's no significance to putting a kli cheres into a mikvah. You need shvira. That's the only way you could purify it. In the case of a kli zchuchis, however, despite its similarity to a kli cheres, and that's why the Rabbanan enacted a category of tumah in kli zchuchis, but nevertheless, it's subject, and it lends itself, if it was contaminated, to tara b'mikvah. However, there's a chumra in kli zchuchis that doesn't apply to a kli cheres, and that is tumah me'al gabon. We said that in the case of a kli cheres, if the sheretz falls on the outside of the kli, then the kli does not contract tumah. In the case of a kli zchuchis, if the sheretz falls on the outside of the kli zchuchis, it does in fact contract tumah. In that sense, a kli zchuchis is very similar to a kli mateches, just like in the case of a kli mateches, and for that matter, all the other kelim except for kli cheres is mekabel tumah al gabon. So too, a kli zchuchis mirabanan is mekabel tumah al gabon. So now the question arises: well, I don't get it. You know, on the one hand, you're telling me that a kli zchuchis is like a kli cheres, and they're both produced from what? They're both manufactured from chol. And that was the whole impetus of the Gzeiras Chacham of Tuma, Derabbanan and Kli Zchuchis. And on the other hand, you're telling me that a Kli Zchuchis is Mekabel Tuma Me'al Gabon. That makes it more similar to a Kli Mateches. So the Gemara says that they added this Chumrah of Tumah Me'al Gabon in a case of Kli Zchuchis because of a certain element of similarity to a Kli Mateches. In a case of a Kli Mateches that broke, you reheat the Mateches and you manufacture the Kli once again. That's common. In a Kli Zchuchis, likewise, you take the broken pieces of glass, put them back in the furnace, and you recreate the glass. Because of that similarity between Kli Zchuchis and Kli Cheres, the Gemara says the halacha was that we are metame a Kli Zchuchis even me'al gabon. So let's just open up for a second to the Gemara here on Daf. On Daf, where is it? Test Vav. Let me just see. Okay. So the Gemara says that a Kli Zchuchis is, okay. Let me just see for a second. Oh, it says here on Test Vav and Beis, the elu achotzitzim bekelim, and it says bekli zchuchis. Oh, okay, fine. Then we get to daf tes vav amid beis, and it says here on tes vav amid beis that there's a mishnah in kelim that says that that is tuma me achoreim ve'ein mitamim migabeim. Oh. And in the case of a kli cheres, the Mishnah says there's no tumah migabeihem. And the Gemara's medayik, that's only in a kli cheres. But apparently in a kli zchuchis, it is mekabel tumah me'achreihem. Oh. So the Gemara says, Amri. So if you have the Gemara on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, how many lines down do you count? Approximately, let me just see. Five, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down from the top on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. The second word of the line is Amri, Kevan Dechi Nishtabru Yeshlem Takana Shavinu Kikli Matachos. So that according to this Gemara, we'll call it the Bnei HaYeshiva, they say that there's a certain striking similarity between glassware and metalware, Yeshlem Takana. What does it mean, Yeshlem Takana? I'll read to you the Hebrew translation here. You can take a look in Rashi. He says, La'atikham, that's molten heating, V'lachzor lasos mehem kelim. That in the case of a glass utensil that broke, you can take the pieces and you can reheat them and make again the keli. V'domim heim, in that sense, they're very similar, l'klei matachos. And therefore, getting back to the Gemara says, shavinu, that means the rabbis made them kikli matachos. And therefore, the makabel tuma me'al gavon. So it's really interesting that we have now, in a funny sort of a way, we have a bit of a paradox here, because on the one hand we're saying that the Rabbanan established Kli Zchuchis as an extension of Kli Cheres, and Kli Cheres we know is not Mitamim El Gabon. But on the other hand, despite the similarity between Kli Zchuchis and Kli Cheres, they're both made from chol, from sand, nevertheless there's also a certain similarity in the physics of glassware to the physics of metalware, and as a result we have this new tumah in Kli Zchuchis of Al Gabon. When I say new, it means in that sense it jumps ship, and instead of being classified as a subcategory of Kli Cheres, which we started with, now it gets an element of Kli Mateches, and that is that it's Tomei Me'al Gabon. The Gemara says, El Me'ata, why don't we apply the principle now to Kli Cheres, to Kli Zchuchis of Chazra Tuma Yeshana? In the case of Kli Mateches, if you recall, if the Kli contracted Tuma and then it broke, so then you put it into the furnace, you recreate it, and it's the old tumah comes back to plague you. That's not true in the case of Kli Zchuchis, as the Gemara is going to prove from a Mishnah in Kalim. And the question is, if the Rabbanan established the tumah, the Rabban of Kli Zchuchis, that it should be Tomei Me'al Gabon because of its similarity to Kli Mateches, why not apply that to the din of Chazra Tumi Yishana? And the Gemara is going to give a number of answers to that question. So we'll leave that Gemara open here, and Blineder will come back to this. Now, the Gemara says on Daf Tesvav that Kli Zchuchis my time goes to Rabbanan Tuma, and the Gemara answers because it's made from sand. So first I want to share with you the insight of the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua says that lo mashma li gemara lo mashe gozra klei zchuchis atu shar kelim. Why didn't the Gemara just simply say, forget about Kli Cheres, that we have a din of kelim, and we said that even those kelim, like stoneware, that are not included in Tumah Doraisa, they're not there in the parashah Vayikra Yud Aleph, nevertheless they are Tamei Midrabanan. So once the Gzeru is made on Kli Avanim, says the Pnei Yoshua, even though they're not material for Tumah Doraisa, why don't we just add Kli Zchuchis into the Gzera, into the scope of the Gzera? That's what he calls Shar Kalim. So he says the following. He says that there's a sugi about that's relevant to us on Daf Tzadi Vavam and Aleph that says the following. Ein gozer midrabanan atu shar kalim. Let me just read this again. So let's just think, what is the case? I just have to get the case of Shar Kalim. Just give me a minute. What is Shar Kalim over here? I need an example of Shar Kalim. Just give me a second. It's not going to be Clay Avonim like I told you before. That was Chachamim Gozru. what is this case of Shar Kalim? If I can only know that, I can tell you what the Pnei Yeshua is saying. Again, Minat Torah, we have Klei Matechos, right? Then a Makabel Tumah, so you have Kalim from Zohav, Kesef, Nechoshes, Barzel, Bedil, and Ophares. And then you have, let's see, then you have, what's the case of Shar Kalim here? Just 1 second. Bottom of Kalim Tuma. The Pnei Yeshua says the following: Lo mashma le Gemara lo mashe gozra klimich zchuches atu Shar Kalim. So it seems that the gzera midrabanan of other Kalim was only formulated with regard to something called Shar Kalim. He doesn't tell you exactly what they are, but there's another category of Kalim where the Rabbanan did not include them in the Gzera Atu Shar Kalim. And he says that stoneware was not included in the Gzera Atu Shar Kalim. And Eino Mekablim Tuma Afilu Midrabanan Kimavur Lahalon Bitzadivam and Aleph. Aresha ein goes with Rabbanon Klei Avonim Atu Shar Kalim. Lachin Hikshu Mash Shone Kli Schuches Mikalim Elu Shalo Gozer Aleim Tumid Rabbanon. So again, I can't tell you all the details here, but the Pnei Yeshua says that there are different types of Kalim which are not included in the Torah, and they fit into two categories. There's something called Kshar Kalim, and then there's called something called Klei Avonim or Klei Adoma. So certain Kalim, the Rabbanon excluded them from the Gzera Shar Kalim. He doesn't tell you exactly why they did so, but there are other Kalim which were included in the Gzera of Shar Kalim. And he doesn't tell you what those Kalim are, but he says that logically the Gemara thought that Klei Schuches should not be included in the Gzera Atu Shar Kalim, but rather it should be similar to those cases of Klei Avonim and Klei Adoma, where the Rabbanim would not go to Tumah Atu Shar Kalim. And the Gemara's answer was that no, that Klei Schuches are similar to Klei Cheres, and therefore people will confuse them with Klei Cheres, and therefore they instituted this enactment, this gzera of Tuma Midrabanan in the case of Klei Schuches, so that we shouldn't mix them up with Klei Cheres. Okay. Now, what again is the similarity between Klei Schuches and Klei Cheres? Is Tchilas Briyosim in Achol. They are created from sand. He writes in the name of the Chazon Ish that included in this din that Klei Schuches has the same status as Klei Cheres as far as Tuma. Shemachmoson, he says that we said in Klei Cheres the only way you could be Matar the Klei is through what? Through Shvira, right? Klei Cheres does not lend itself to Tara b'mikvah. Now we should include Klei Schuches as a result of its similarity to Klei Cheres on a Drabbanan level. It should not lend itself to Tara B'mikvah. It should not lend itself to Tara B'mikvah. And we had another kula, if you remember, of Klei Cheres, that if Klei Cheres comes in contact with a dead body, then instead of becoming an avatum, it's only a rishon l'tumah. The Chazon Ish says that halach applies to Klei Schuches as well. And the only case in which you can have a Klei Schuches that was makabel tumah and put it into a mikvah is only a case of a dovra mamid b'mateches, which I think what he has in mind is if there's a part of the Klei that's broken, and he fills it in with some sort of lead, some sort of a metal substance, then and only then would the kli zchuchis lend itself to tvila b'mikvah. So the Mishnah that says ein chotzitzim b'kelim, that these are the following chatzitzos in kelim, and it mentions kli zchuchis as well, so the laws of chatzitza apply to a kli zchuchis. That means that you're talking about tvila b'mikvah. And the Gemara is going to answer that that's only in a case where he filled in the hole with metal. Now there's a Tosfos Divrei HaMashkil Alma. Let's see if we find such a Tosfos. I'm not finding it now. Just a second.
Alma?
Yeah, do you see... What? Oh, I see. There it is, the third Tosfos from the bottom. Lekele Meimar, Dahi Tfilas Kelim Chadoshim, Meir, Kshikonim and Anochri, the Tzrichim Tfila, Doktoni Sefer Perktes, the Mesech the Mikvos, Al Shulchim Al Tavlov, Al Adargosh, is Chotzitzin. So basically, Tosfos asks the following question. Maybe the Mishnah that establishes a tefillah b'mikvah for glassware is referring to new glass that was bought, purchased from a guy, and it needs tefillah to be matir the keli. And Tosfos says that at the end of the Mishnah, it mentions shulchan and tavla, etc., and those are kelim that are made out of wood, and therefore they don't need tefillah when you buy it from a guy. So when you buy a new kli from a guy and it's made of wood, then it doesn't require tefillah. Okay, maybe normally you would not use a utensil made of wood for your su'uda. They didn't eat food out of a wooden kli, so therefore it doesn't require tevila, because the requiring, when you purchase a kli from a non-Jew, the reason why you require tevila is because it's called clay su'uda. So a shulchan is not something that you eat, you know, you eat, if the shulchan is made of, again, you eat off of the shulchan, but not, you know, you don't put the food onto the shulchan itself, and there are other cases here of wooden kelim, you don't put the food into the wooden keli normally. It's not a kli suda, it doesn't require tevila when you buy it from a guy. So therefore, if this Mishnah mentions kli zchuchis and what chatzitza would be problematic for the tevila of the kli, then it must be talking about tefila shem tara, but not tefila lahatir, you know, a new kli that you bought from a guy, because again, this Mishnah clearly is not referring to that kind of a tefila, because it mentions wooden kelim. The Tosa Rush gives a different answer, and he says, even if we were to say that the tefila in this Mishnah is referring to kelim chadoshim that were bought from a guy, we still have a problem, because we still see that it doesn't have the same status as a kli cheres. If you buy a kli cheres, you buy earthenware from a guy, then it doesn't require tevila. Now, I saw someone who told me that a chinaware, you know, our chinaware requires tevila. Now, china is your classic kli cheres. So if you buy china from a guy, then kli cheres doesn't need tevila. So why are you taking your chinaware to the mikvah? So he told me because it's glazed, and glass requires tevila in a mikvah. And that's exactly the kashi of Tosfos, that maybe the Mishnah, when it talks about tara here in a mikvah, is talking about kelim chadoshim. So I spoke this over with a very good friend of mine, Alan Dubin. I don't know if you know him. And Alan said that he asked Rabbi Alpert over Shalom, Rabbi Nissen Alpert, who was a Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe Feinstein, about glazed china. And Rav Alpert said in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that glazed china does not need tefillah in a mikvah, which would save us a tremendous hassle, because glazed china is, I don't know, I'm exaggerating, but most of our china is glazed. I don't know, I think all of our china is glazed. Anyway, so Rav Moshe said that although the Gemara speaks about kunya, that's at the end of Masechta Avodah Zarah, he says kunya requires tefillah, but that's not our glazed china. There the Gemara is talking about when you make glass, so it's molten glass that's heated up in a furnace, and it's a liquidy substance, and what they would add was, what I meant to say is that in the process of making pottery, when they heat up the sand to make this china, this earthenware, what they do is, in order to strengthen the pot, earthenware needs some sort of a chizuk, because earthenware very often is very shaky, it's very fragile. So when the Gemara talks about kunya, and that earthenware needs tevila, the Gemara vacillates back and forth, but the Gemara is talking about a case where what they did was, after they completed making the earthenware, they added a layer of glass, and they basically took the earthenware and sort of, don't take me literally, but figuratively, they inserted it into glass, and the glass was a layer of glass that surrounded the kli. That's why you need tefillah. Why? Because then you've changed the status of the kli from a kli cheres to a kli zchuchis, because you've added a layer of glass on the outside of the earthenware. So I'm just pointing out that Rav Moshe said that's not our china. Our glazed china is not that you have a layer of glass that surrounds the kli and you eat off the glass. No. What they did is, in order to strengthen the earthenware, they would pour in a certain amount of glass that would give strength to the pottery, so it was less fragile. But he says that's not a layer of glass that surrounds the kli, but rather that's glass that's used in the process of making earthenware. But at the end of the day, it's mostly earthenware, and therefore it has the status of a kli cheres. It doesn't need tefillah. That's just on the side, you know, just to tell you a story for today. Okay. Now he quotes the Marsha. The Marsha says that, why does Tosfos ask that maybe the Mishnah is talking about Tefilas Kelim Chadashim Sheniknu Min HaGoy? According to the logic of the Gemara, that Kli Zchuchis is similar to Kli Cheres, then it would not need Tefila when you bought it from a Goy. So what was Tosfos bothered by? The Gemara has a perfectly solid and foolproof proof from this Mishnah that Kli Zchuchis is certainly not similar to a Kli Cheres. And even if you're talking about Tefillah of Kelim Chadashim, you'd still draw that same identical conclusion. So the Marsha answers that Le'inyan Zesh Etzrichim Tefillah V'Kelim Chadashim Gama makshet even shekli zchuchis domim lekli matochos kevon sheyesh lehem takonik shenishberu v'rak linyan tuma v'tara even sheim domim lekli cheres legamre. So the logic, says the Marsha, of the makshon was that although, as far as tefillas kelim chadashim is concerned, there is a certain element of similarity between clay zchuchis and clay matechos, which would require tevila in the case of chadoshim, because again, just like in metal, when it breaks, you reform the kli, so too in zchuchis, the same thing is true. But as far as tuma v'tara, the Gemara thought that the status of kli zchuchis is equal to that of a kli cheres, and tevila b'mikvah is not going to help you. So therefore, Tosfos asked the kasha, how did the Gemara know that this Mishnah that speaks about chatzitza and tefillah b'mikvah of klis chuches, how do we know that that Mishnah is talking about tumah v'tara, which would justify the Gemara's kasha? Maybe the subject of that Mishnah is tumah of kelim chadashim. And as far as tumah and kelim chadashim are concerned, the Makshin understood that there's an equation between klei zchuchis and klei matochos, because yesh lam takana kishenishbu, and therefore they both require tevila when you buy them from a guy. But as far as tumah v'tara is concerned, the Makshin understood that the greatest similarity is between klei zchuchis and a kli cheres. Okay, Rabosa, I think it's time to wish you a great day. And if anyone's interested in learning a little bit of Erevin Be'iun, then you could join me in about 5 minutes for that shiur. Okay, then? Okay, fine. Thank you so much.